We see that a steward is one who has been entrusted with the possessions of another. God has entrusted all of us with time, talents, treasures, and today we're going to see that he has entrusted us with spiritual gifts.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Spiritual Gifts. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Spiritual Gifts.
Explanation in the notes, so if you want to just get an idea, because my objective is not to exegete all of these this morning. I want to get right to the point where we're at, where the rubber meets the road. Secondly, there are the power gifts, and this is the ability to heal, to do miracles, to speak in tongues, to interpret tongues, and then even apostleship, is a gift. So those are the first two categories of gifts. Now, let me get to where we're at, okay, where we want to be. Because I think that this, for the purposes of this series that I'm doing, these are the gifts that we need to understand. So turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And we have that famous passage, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace of God given to me, every man and woman that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought, but to think soberly, according as God hath, look at this, dealt to everyone the measure of faith. So this means that he has given everybody the faith to use their gift. No matter how great, no matter how small, that God has dealt to every believer. That if you are sitting here today and you are a child of God, you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then God, if I could use a worldly illustration, he has dealt like the dealer in cards, right? All right, you got me, right? All right, I don't need to say any more. I'm cool right there. I can stop. So we know God don't play cards, right? Using that as an example. God has dealt to every one of us faith to receive a gift and to exercise our gift. All right? For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. There are many of us sitting here today, and all of us don't do the same things. We don't have the same office. So we being many are one body in Christ and everyone members of one another. We are all interconnected. We are all interdependent on one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace. Okay, having gifts that differ according to the grace that is given you. Again, that you've been dealt. According to the hand that you've been dealt. According to the grace that has been given you. That is given to us, whether, and I'm going to go through these, prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. Or he that giveth, let him do it with liberality. He that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. So out of this, we see the performing gifts that God has dealt to every one of us, and we need to understand what our gift is, and then whatever we are called to do, we use our gift in proportion as God has blessed us. So let us look at these gifts. First of all, there's prophecy. And what is prophecy? This is the divine empowerment to proclaim the word of God in a timely and bold manner for the purpose of conviction and instruction. So most preachers have been given the gift of prophecy. Now, other people might have the gift of prophecy where they don't necessarily have a pulpit ministry. But the word of, if you have the gift of prophecy, you have an urging, you have a desire to proclaim the word of God. Before I got saved, I had no interest in spiritual things. Absolutely no interest in going to anybody's church, no interest in going to anybody's seminary or Bible school. But when I gave my life to Jesus Christ, and I began to get busy in the body, God began to put in my heart a desire to proclaim the word of God. Can I say something that's very sensitive? It's very sensitive, but let me share where it came from. I've been, and to nobody's surprise, I've been mostly trained in white colleges and white seminaries. Just be honest with you, all right? But as I was being trained, I began to reflect upon my interactions with church people growing up. And so, I was there, and I was learning all this stuff. I mean, it was just coming to me, and man, I was thanking God for how I was growing and how my soul was feeding on the word of God. And I was just excited. And all of a sudden, God began to minister to my heart. And he said to me that you need to take this word back to the city. You need to take it back and to people that you grew up around. And so I began to have a burden. And I knew that as I was being trained, that God had put this desire in me, and I'm going to go talk about teaching in a second, but this desire in me to go back and proclaim this message to those who I grew up with. And so as I think about that, where did that come from? That came from the Holy Spirit, right? Bill Glaze had no desire, as I said, to go to anybody's church or anybody's Bible college or anybody's seminary, all right? But God just kind of guided and directed my path, led me to the place that he wanted me to go, and he said, now that you got this, this is what I want you to do with it, to go and proclaim this message, proclaim this word. So there was prophecy, and then the second one is teaching. And this is the ability to understand the word of God and then be able to take it and teach others. That you have a desire, which is the second part of as God was ministering to me and telling me what to do, that you have a desire to understand the word of God and then be able to break it down and go share it with somebody else. And you know what? You don't have to be in front of a group of students. You don't have to be in front of a congregation. It might just be one-on-one. As a person that wants to get into discipleship and disciple others. And so maybe that's where your gifting is. Your gifting in this is an area of teaching. But again, I mean, you can teach in a public school, and you can teach in other venues, but the main thing that God gives you this gift for is to build up the body of Christ. And you notice, let me share with you a little secret too, that most churches take on the personality of the pastor's gift. Just look around. If you look around, most churches take on the personality of the pastor's gift. So nobody has any cloudiness or confusion about what Pastor Glaze's gift is. It's teaching. It's I know that my gift is teaching. And I work best when I'm operating in the arena of my giftedness. And that's why, you know, sometimes, you know, I get invited to all kind of meetings. I mean, all kind of meetings, and half of them I have to turn down. But some of them I go to. And I'm sitting there like, I have no idea in the world what these people are talking about, right? And I'm like, help me, Holy Spirit. Help me to grasp what's being said here. And I sit there and, you know, nothing. But you know what? When I get in this arena, man, stuff just flows. Why? Because I'm connecting with my giftedness. I understand where I'm operating best. And so God gives us these gifts in the body to be able to make the body come together. That's why we need prophets. We need teachers. This next gift, pastor, shepherd, don't think that you have to be a pastor in order to have this gift, because you don't. This gift basically says that you have a desire to give care, protection, and nurturing to, it could be one person or a group of people. But again, it's to what? It's to build up the kingdom of God. That you have a shepherd's heart, that you have a pastor's heart, and not necessarily that you want to be a pastor, okay? But that's just your heart. Now, again, I'm covering these real quick. You know, as I said, I broke them down in here. As a matter of fact, let me do this, if I can find it real quick. I was looking for, let me just look at teaching. I wanted to look at Pastor Shepherd, but let me look at teaching, all right? And it says here, people with this gift and how... where this gift can be used at Bethany. All right, so I have in here, you know, just a little section that once you understand your gift, how you can use it at Bethany. If you were called a kids worship teacher, a PLBI teacher, a vacation Bible school teacher, a YCC teacher, you can write articles for different things that might be going on around here. So if you have the gift of teaching, you know, there are several opportunities, and this is just a smattering of opportunities, but if you have the gift of teaching, then here's some areas where you can serve at Bethany Baptist Church. Because what? You want to be able to get down into that word, and you want to dig out. Oh, you know, it was a blessing yesterday. I've been teaching on the feast on Wednesdays. And so one Wednesday, I taught on the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And I talked about, you know, what is the background for the feast? The background for the feast is when God called the Hebrews out of Egypt, that they left so fast that they didn't have time to put leaven in the bread to wait for it to rise. And so I taught this thing, right, on the Feast of Unleavened Bread. I come here yesterday, and the deaconesses have the young ladies in the church. And they're back there in the kitchen cooking. And they're making pizza. Oh, it was some good pizza too, I'll tell you that. But they came and said, Pastor, you know the lesson that you taught on unleavened bread? You know, we used that, you know, we taught the 10 plagues and talked about the leaven. And before we started baking, we did this lesson teaching the girls about the 10 plagues, and then about why there was no leaven in the bread. Now, as a teacher, right? Man, you see how it is when you operate in your gift? You're not only excited to share your gift, but man, when you see people connecting and people taking what you have shared with them, oh, wow, it's powerful. But let me move on. Let me move on. All right. The next gift, exhortation. Exhortation. This is the divine desire to motivate believers, to encourage them to strengthen them, and to comfort them. And so when we look at this, the gift of exhortation, that means that you have this ability to be able to encourage people, that when people need motivation, that you're there, not with a word of condemnation, but you're there with a word of encouragement. When they're discouraged, you're able to go there and give them words, spiritual words, biblical words to lift them up. When you see people that are weak and struggling, that you're able to come alongside of them and whisper in their ear and give them a word of encouragement. And then you're able to encourage the downhearted. See, I wish I'd have put it up there, but, you know, to show you how these gifts play out by understanding your gift. And as I said, you know, Sister Lydia Lockhart is ready and willing to talk to anyone that's interested in finding out their gift and learning more about their gift, all right? And so there's this gift of exhortation. There's a gift of evangelism, and this is a desire to see other people accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I mean, this is something that's in your spirit. And, you know, if you see somebody that's not saved, you know, the first thing that you want to do is witnessing to them. Where somebody else might say, you know, the teacher might say, well, let's lay some background, let's do some teaching. The person with the gift of evangelism, man, boom, they go right through the jugular, right? I mean, they just want to jump in there. Man, you know, if you die tonight, you're going to hell, you know, and, you know, just, I mean, you know, just that spirit of evangelism, because the Holy Spirit that's in them, you know, working out through their personality, the Holy Spirit is saying, you know, look, man, there's a lost person. You need to go challenge them about their salvation. Now, just because you don't have this gift, that don't mean that you shouldn't evangelize, because God has, to some degree, called us all to witness and evangelize. But this person right here, man, they just love witnessing and sharing the gospel. Serving. This is the divine desire to see tasks completed in the body and the willingness to put forth energy to make it happen. That means that, you know, you are willing to serve, you know, in the kitchen as an usher, you know, as a greeter. You know, I mean, there's so many things that the person with the gift of serving can do. You know, usually, you know, the person with a gift of serving, if there's a piece of paper on the floor, the person with the gift of serving will pick it up. Where the person with the gift of prophecy say, man, who left that down there? We need to find the guy that left that down there. You know, they're destroying the house of God. The person with the gift of serving, they just what? Because that's in their spirit. That's in their spirit, right? The person with the gift of prophecy, they want to know who did it. Yeah, we need to confront them. We need to confront them so that they don't put it down there again. Right. But the person with the, they say, they just see a need, man. They just jump in there. And so you see that this gift, you know, there's so many arenas in the church. There's so many avenues in the church where people can use this gift, right? I mean, just so many, you know, in the kitchen, you know, serving. We can go on and on, right? Giving, all right. Giving is the divine sensitivity to recognize needs in the body and the ability to meet those needs with joyfulness and liberality. That some people, now in order for you to have the gift of giving, right now, and I believe this is primarily talking about money, but it could be talking about other things, right? But so let's just, since we talked about money last week, let's just stay on that money thing. And that is, if you don't have no dough, then the chances are that you don't necessarily have the gift of giving. Now, God may bless you to be able to say, okay, well, you know, some people get blessed, and the first thing they do is that they say, well, how can I be a blessing to somebody else, right? Well, then that person probably has the gift of giving, right? So you got to have something to give when you get blessed. Again, you know, not that money is the only thing, but, you know, it's probably a significant thing. So, you know, this person, when they hear about needs in the church, like, you know, the last couple weeks, we've heard about the need in the food bank, you know, for food. And so I got an email from somebody this week saying that they are going to see what they can do to help with that deficit. Well, that person has what? That person has a heart for giving. That person has a heart to see that need that's met. And so there's the gift of giving. The gift of ruling, this is the desire and ability to accomplish the work of God in ministry by setting plans, putting them in order, and directing those who work in the ministry. So most people who are in leadership positions should have the gift of administration, the gift of ruling, the gift of government. And then there is the gift of mercy or compassion. And this is the sensitivity to feel compassion and sympathy for those who are hurting and the ability to provide them care to help. That you have the gift of mercy. The Bible says to rejoice with those who rejoice, to weep with those who weep. That when you see somebody hurting, you know, that you just want to come alongside because your heart is touched, because you feel their pain. You feel what they're going through. And so you want to come alongside. And that's that heart of compassion. That's that heart of mercy. And so those are the gifts that we want to focus on here at Bethany Baptist Church. So as I close this morning, to show you how these gifts work out. And one of my professors in seminary, Dr. Ed Heinsohn, he kind of gave this illustration, so I thought it was apropos. But so say somebody is serving the Thanksgiving dinner, and they're bringing the turkey to the table. And something happens, and the turkey slips out of their hand and falls to the ground. So now you got people with all these gifts standing around. And the person with the gift of prophecy said that if you were to watch where you're going, that wouldn't have happened. You got to watch where you're going. The person with the gift of encouragement would say, hey, man, look, I dropped turkeys before. You're not the first person to drop a turkey. But I'm going to let you know. It's all right. Everything is cool. Then you got the person with the gift of teaching. And he'll say, well, see, this is why you dropped the turkey, is because there was actually a bulge in the carpet. And if you would have gone before and made sure the carpet was straight, or if you'd have been looking down, you wouldn't have tripped over that bulge in the carpet. And so the person with the gift of teaching would look at it from that way. The person with the gift of giving would say, oh, man, look, let's just go to John Eagle and get another turkey. We go buy another one. You know, you don't have to be, throw that one in the trash. We'll go buy another one. The person with the gift of administration will say, okay, somebody get the broom. Somebody get the dustpan. Somebody come over here and get some stuff to get the stain up out of the carpet. And you know, let's do this. And so they have that ability to administrate and try to organize and get people to deal with the situation. And then if you have somebody with the gift of mercy, oh, it hurts my heart that you just dropped the turkey. So we see how, you know, these gifts work out in the body. And again, these gifts might be more of spiritual motivations, but as we understand them, we understand how we can work out in the body of Christ. See, there might be a deacon, and the deacon might have the gift of administration, with the help with the administrative part, but also the what? The gift of serving, because we are called to serve others. And so these gifts, as Paul says, come together so that we might be fitly joined and be one body in Jesus Christ. So we pray that if you don't know what your gift is, that you would find out what it is, and if you do know what your gift is, that you will see how it operates in the ministry that God has called you.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of This Is Love, to Give One's Life. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Spiritual Gifts, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Spiritual Gifts. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Spiritual Gifts. or you can call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.